The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up, James and Betty challenge you to plant seeds in God's fruitful garden.
And you can be a part of bringing hope to this world that's in dire need of hope right now. And that hope comes through the truth and love of Jesus Christ. And there's no greater love that He expressed than giving His only Son that we might have eternal life and have that hope that's in Christ Jesus.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I have been together a long time, and we have been on a wonderful journey,
yes,
one God has led us on. When God called me to preach more than 60 years ago, He told me I was to preach and not use notes, just get up and trust Him. Well, I have got here a notebook filled with thoughts that I've written that He has just spoken to me. And I'm so excited about what He's been saying to me that I've actually begun to put some of them down where they just flow. And I feel led to read to you some of the things I wrote down, because most of my time now, Betty, as you know, is spent in the Word and in prayer and then talking one-on-one, many times on the telephone, many times in a Zoom call or a small group. And I've had lots of conference calls with leaders from all different areas of life. And I'm just pouring God's Word on them when we talk, and I answer their questions. And I founded the stream to bring together some of the most gifted, anointed, truly principle-centered people in God's Word and God's will, and trying to get His truth and His wisdom out like a river, and it's there. And as I've been praying and listening to Him and writing things down, I feel like the Lord has impressed me to read some of the things that I just wrote. And I'm going to do that today, because I feel like the same Father has told me, when I give you something and you write it down and you want to read it, do it. I'm going to do that right now, because I believe God wrote this on my heart. I shared with you some things about Joel and what Joel said in the last program, and I'm going to reference some of those things even again today. But I'm actually going to read what in my times of prayer,
amen,
and you've watched me just write and write, and it's not too easy to read my writing, so we get it over into type print pretty quick, because I want to remember it. But that's what I'm going to do right now. So you just pray God will speak to you. Paradise, this world, God's creation, has been under a fiery assault since the creation, with the intention by the destroyer to destroy this creation, this paradise. It's more than a garden. As Paul said, even of us as individuals, we're the cultivated field of God, which is the first part of our being, and that is supposed to be purified and fruitful. He says we're tried by fire, and the fire tests the works. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it will burn up, and it reveals what it is. If it's gold, silver, or precious stone, the fire actually refines and purifies it and makes it more perfect. Did you know that when you put silver in the fire, it reflects the perfect image looking at it? It's a beautiful reflection. We're all supposed to be reflecting Jesus. People are to see Him in us. And many people sure do see Him in you. I'm looking at that smile right now. And that, I'm telling you, you're radiant. The enemy wants to burn up paradise and destroy the radiance of God in us. He begins with the field and the paradise of our own lives. The garden of God is supposed to be a well-watered garden. Too often it's not. Right now, the enemy is trying to burn up the blessings of freedom. Just like the locusts destroyed the fruitfulness of the nation when they came in, lockstep, came through the windows like troops, came like charging horses and burned and destroyed everything. I read that to you the other day in Joel, and it's so true. Once again, the fiery testing is taking place right now. the war against paradise, the will of God, the purpose and beauty of God, on the fruitfulness, which is the first thing he said, be fruitful and multiply, not just with children, but in all areas, God said, if you'll come back to me now, this is when they're going through the fiery trial. If you'll put me first, I can restore the fruitful fields. I can restore paradise, and I will pour out the former and latter rains, make up for the years the locusts ate. God wants to make up for the years that everything has damaged because we have walked away from God's principal foundation stones, and we've got to turn back to it. He is right now as a shepherd, leading us, seeking us with every fiber of who he is to lead us in green pastures so we can know that anyone trying to take us off into greater fruitfulness, blessings, and opportunity, that's the voice of wisdom. That's God. The enemy tries to get us to depend upon something other than God. Here's a quote from Living Amaze. When you hand something to someone out of a misplaced, misappropriated sense of obligation, guilt, or pity, and then don't require any accountability for how those resources are used, you're asking for what we have today, a dependent class of socially immobile, ineffective, unproductive people who have no hope of ever bettering their own situation. The implication is the enemy makes you depend upon something or someone other than God. Listen to what I read this morning that really jumped out of me. I came out of those kingdom Monday night meetings knowing that the world basically is being manipulated or motivated or deceived or enlightened by two voices of two fathers. One is the father of lies, dissension, division, death, and destruction. The other is the father of light, truth, life, blessings, fruitfulness, and anything that the father desires for us and any great parent would want for their children. Those are the two voices. If you can't distinguish what's going on and not just categorize people with an ism, a secular name, or some label you can put on them, everybody's a racist. Right now, if you question anything somebody does outside their race, this is ridiculous. The voice of deception has also revealed itself to be a voice of insanity. It has no sound thinking. It's Romans 1. They change the truth of God into a lie and can't determine night and day, light from darkness. I'm telling you, the enemy destroys your ability to think. God said in Romans 1 that if you change his truth into a lie, you'll have a twisted, reprobate mind. You can't determine right or wrong. So you're going to dig a trail and a track and a graveyard, a grave that you will fall in with what you do when you change his truth. You do not think straight. You think insanity and you think suicidally and destructively. God, please deliver us from this. That's what God wants to do. Here we are today, and to the Christians right now, this moment, I want you to understand perfectly with Paul, who Peter has said in his letters, the things he says are kind of complicated and hard to understand. He's complimenting Paul, one of the great apostles, beginning with 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution. We're supposed to do that. But we will not follow them into changing truth into a lie. You can't do that. You may know it. You may be submitting to authority. And here's the thing, if you're putting the authority in place that brings judgment on you, then it's because you put leaders in place who are unprincipled. When you're given the choice of picking leaders, then you need to choose them wisely, responsibly, and you've got to do it with a wisdom that comes from above. Do not allow them to destroy you. That means that you have literally chose the punishment that's coming on you, because you didn't do what God told you to do. You didn't choose righteousness. You didn't choose against evil and deception. You didn't choose for the principles that are unshakable. Many, many people are being punished right now because good people opted out of participating and seeing to it that we have good leaders in place. Listen to what Peter said. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether a king or as one in authority or governors, as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. By the way, we have in our state a governor who's questioning evildoers, and he's been called a racist. It's going to get worse in every state. When you question what's wrong, you'll be called names. But the praise of those who do right, for such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's what God says. You will see that's really what God is trying to do. Silence their ignorance. What you saw many times in those hearings and with the candidates for Supreme Court, you saw the ignorance of foolish men. And you saw how damaging it would have been. Thank God wisdom overcame it. And we got a miracle. We can have both miracles in every area of leadership. We need to act and live as freed men and not use our freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. In other words, your freedom is liberty, not license. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Here's God Almighty. Where are the emperors, the kings? Where is his nation made the mistake of wanting a king like other nations? They didn't need one. That was a huge mistake. You honor him because he's here. This is the deal. All authority is used by God. What is used by God for? To punish it, even if evildoers are the ones who pick the authority in a democracy, in the Middle East, wherever you are. Our founder said, we're not going to have this authority anymore. We're going to have the right kind of authority. Those were principled men, and it's going to be under God. Even Thomas Paine, who later became a critic of Christianity, and I think got out of sync when he got back in the wrong fellowship. They called him a deist then. But when he spoke common sense, there is no way he wasn't listening to the voice of wisdom, because he said the word of God, and he talked about the Creator. Everything stands on that, on the word of God. This is Thomas Paine. He's talking about the law of God. And as he got down to the hall of common sense, it's common sense, he wrote. That is what turned the people loose. That pamphlet on common sense had to be one of the most powerful and most read things ever written. It would have been like a YouTube post going viral to billions. That's the impact it had. It helped change the world. 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. This is not an endorsement of slavery. This is the very thing that likely helped more than anything get the slaves free. Their attitude and their prayers and their spirit, even when they were being abused, they held on to God and let God be the one who set them free. Right now, there are people being held captive by the spirit of slavery because they don't realize that the thing that frees us up is not how much we hate people holding us, but how much we pray for them. We have got to literally pray with all our heart that we will hate the one who makes the terrible, deceptive decision, and pray for those who will heal the wound by making principled decisions and putting those principled things in place. We have the ability to be the fruitful garden of God and again grow grain, grow grapes, grow vines, just like Joel said. Betty, I believe this is going to happen.
I do too.
I believe the stage is set for the greatest awakening in history. We must not allow hatred to prevail. We have to be prayerful. We have to be respectful. It's not only to those who are good, but to those who may be unreasonable, because this finds favor for the sake of conscience toward God or man, and it bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. That's what Paul did, Peter did, what John did on Patmos. 1 Peter 2:20, For what credit is there if when you sin and you're harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, if you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. And then it goes on to talk about how we're supposed to live and not just always go astray like sheep. Can you hear the fire and the concern in my bones with what I just shared with you? Do you understand that if we will return to God and return to His principles and seek to put those principles back in place and put people committed to those principles as the leaders, maybe we can have a whole new day in America.
Absolutely. You know, and as I listen to you, James, you talked a lot about hopelessness, and we look around in our world today and it looks pretty hopeless, doesn't it? But let me tell you, every day you watch this show, we show you hopelessness without food. We show you hopelessness without water. We show you hopelessness with the trafficking of children, but we offer hope. That's what you do when you give to this ministry. You offer hope. So don't give up and say, look around this world and say it's hopeless, James, because every day that you give to give a drink of water, every day they give to give a bite of food, or we tell the child that's in trafficking, there's a way out. Because with God, there's always a way out. And you can be a part of bringing hope to this world that's in dire need of hope right now. And that hope comes through the truth and love of Jesus Christ. And there's no greater love that He expressed than giving His only Son that we might have eternal life and have that hope that's in Christ Jesus. So please have hope in your heart. God puts it there. He wants you to act upon that hope, to demonstrate that hope and truth that He puts in us.
Father, I want to thank You for this beautiful girl, for my wife, the mother of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. What a blessing. And Lord, there's so many people who are watching who really want Your will to be done, just like Betty's expressed a desire for. And I've tried to share with what I shared. Please, dear Jesus, heal our land. Awaken Your people and pour out Your love through them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Betty talked about giving water or food. Right now, we're in our Water for Life. We found 350 areas where water is a desperate need and there is subsurface water. And we are committed to try to drill a well there and to do it, but we can't do it without Your help. The wells cost $4,800. Many people tell us they don't have a greater joy than giving a well and try to give one every time we ask. Thank You for that desire. You can give part of a well. Many people give $1,200 and just pray, God, give me three more to join me, and we got a well. But there's a level at which you can give. Please, please understand, $48 as an example will give 10 people water the rest of their life. Would you right now, would you listen to our mission director and see if you don't hear God speaking through him concerning a need that you can meet? You really can. You can be the miracle needed and longed for and prayed for by many. Watch closely.
I'm here with Joetta in Liberia, and we've been listening to her story. She's been married 24 years. She loves God, and yet she is a mother who, like so many of you watching, understands and has experienced the grief of the loss of a child.
We drink from water that is unsafe, and it has caused the death of my child. My son was only 13 years old when he died. He was very smart and he loved playing sports. One day he woke up and complained about bad stomach pain and that the water he drank is hurting his stomach. He said he couldn't stay home from school that day because he had a test and team practice later on. Then that afternoon, I saw a group of students walking to my house and they were carrying my son. I said, "What's going on?" My son was very weak from vomiting and diarrhea, and soon after that, he stopped breathing. I beg you, please, please, help us get clean water in our village.
I think of a mother who would sit on a porch and wait for her son to come home from school. But my heart just aches today for Joetta. We don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the kids here unless we can somehow bring water for life here. And I believe that God's given us the technology and the resources and the compassion to do whatever it takes to bring those rigs to villages like this here in Liberia and all over the world. It is impossible for these families to fix this on their own. It's impossible. We need your help. We need your help right now.
And that's precisely what God has given through you to life, to all the outreaches of life. Thank you, God. Thank you for hearing God's heart and the heart cry of the mothers, just like the one you just saw. Would you help us drill the 350 wells that we found the location of where the water was there subsurface? We just need a drill. We're more than halfway there now, but we need a miracle close. And things have gotten tight in our economy, in our nation. There's a lot of people feeling it. And then, of course, we feed it. Father, touch hearts. Some that have maybe never given. Maybe say, you know what, I can give a well or part of a well, but I can give. Father, would you raise up people to help us become the answer to the heartache of that woman and turn so many away from the cycle of death by giving life in Jesus' name. Would you please go get your bank card, use it like a check, call the number on the screen, go online, make the best gift you can. Remember, $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. $144 gives 30 people water the rest of their life. If you could give a well, joyfully do it. If you could give $1,200 and pray for three more to join you, we got another one. Do that, pray. But get that bank card and use it the way you should always use it, like a check. If you want to write a check, make it to life, because that's precisely what you're giving. Please do it right now. You be the miracle that is going to change everything for so many in an area. You will give them a miracle of life, and we will point them to the source of life. We will point them to Jesus, and they will have seen him because they've seen his love in you. We have some gifts to send you that will bless you and inspire you. Thank you for giving life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This water is filthy. It's cloudy, it's muddy, it's oily, and it's contaminated with worms, other things from animals that come to drink here. It's something that you and I would never, ever consider putting into our bodies, much less letting our children drink it. Why do they do this? Because they have no choice. That's why Mission Water for Life is so critical. And it's why we have to move fast, because we have talked to families in many villages around here where they have lost children in recent months, especially young children. They tell me that when a child stops nursing and starts having to drink water, that's the most vulnerable point. But it shouldn't have to be that way. We should be able to come in here and give them a water well that goes down and gets clean drinking water. Will you be a part of Water for Life? Let's stop this as quickly as possible. Go to the phone, go online right now. Make the best gift you can, and know that when you do, you are reaching them with the love of Jesus Christ in word and in deed.
Thank you so much for sharing whatever God put on your heart to share. Please continue to. We need your help. These children are counting on you for that fresh, clean water. God bless you.
Yeah, you become that miracle. We're going to send you the beautiful devotional guide, the beautiful life tumblers. And if you give a portion of a well, 1,200 or more, send you the beautiful water of life bronze. Thank you. Thank you for sharing him, Jesus.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. We are forever grateful to everyone who has joined us in our mission of providing water to the thirsty, food to the hungry, shelter to the orphan, and meeting the various needs of those who are struggling. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Become a Friend for Life partner with your recurring financial gifts, and we'll send you our monthly newsletter, along with encouraging spiritual resources to uplift and inspire you in your daily Christian walk. Best of all, you'll be blessed to know that your ongoing gift is helping make possible the outreaches of life. Call now or go online to become a Friend for Life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time. Please. Call now.
We have to get the light on the lampstand. We have to stand like a family, like a mighty army of overcomers.
Tomorrow on Life Today.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.